Our scripture reading is 1 Peter 2, verse 25. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that our intellect and wisdom in and of itself is insufficient to understanding the things of God. In order to do that, Lord, we need that supernatural work of your Holy Spirit upon us, upon our minds. And it's precisely when that doesn't happen, and when we try to rely on our own intellect, our own natural gifts, Lord, we utterly fail to comprehend the meaning, purpose, power, glory of your gospel. And so, putting away all self-reliance and all pride, Lord, we now pray by your Holy Spirit, power alone, working upon our hearts and minds, that we will understand now the things of God, which are here in your gospel. There's nothing more important, Lord. And so now we commit ourselves, Lord, to you, to that grace that we are so utterly in need of, Lord, every day. With each moment, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we're continuing on with our series in 1 Peter, in the second chapter of this epistle, picking up where we left off before our hiatus from this series due to Holy Week, moving on to verse 25. So today's text opens with an analogy which compares the life of unbelief to the life of straying sheep. For you were straying like sheep. And as we read that phrase, we're reminded of that great verse in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Sheep that have gone astray, who have gone off to fend for themselves, are a pitiful sight to behold. Without the constant care and guidance of a shepherd, sheep are mangled and killed off by predators, become weak and starved for a lack of good pasture, unkempt and filthy for the lack of grooming, and are aggravated and sickly due to various pests and parasites. And as any shepherd would tell you, sheep are weak and vulnerable creatures that cannot fend for themselves. In order to survive and thrive, they are utterly dependent on the watchful care of a shepherd. Straying sheep without a shepherd are truly a pathetic, pitiable sight. When Jesus saw the crowds who were in need of his ministry, his heart was moved with compassion for them because they were miserable, wearied, and mangled like shepherdless sheep. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And this is the imagery given by Scripture for people who have turned to their own way, torn, cast down like sheep without a shepherd. People fending for themselves may like to think that they are strong, sharp, capable in their independence from God. But in reality, like sheep gone astray, they are indeed a miserable sight to behold. The misery of people gone astray, living their own way, is captured vividly in that verse in Titus 3 that we are well familiar with. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. And we've touched upon Titus 3:3 at various times over the past year. But today, let's unpack this verse in detail as it relates to the miserable, pitiful condition of people as they live their own way, like sheep having gone astray, like sheep without a shepherd. As we turn now to our first point, the misery of life without Christ. As Titus 3:3 points out, living life our own way is to live as foolish people. For we ourselves were once foolish. That's what independence from God is. That's life living our own way. It's fundamentally foolish. In what sense foolish? Well, Psalm 14:1 tells us what is at the heart of a foolish life. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's the foolish life. That's the root of the foolish life. To live as if God doesn't exist. Let me say, God is a nice idea to comfort people who feel alone in this cold universe. But of course, he doesn't really exist. Well, that's the heart, the root of the foolish life. To live life as if God does not exist is to live as a fool. That's what we're told in Psalm 14:1. To live life as if there is no God is like an ostrich burying its head in the sand. It is to live in denial of plain fact. Is to live in denial of what all people deep down know to be true. And so this is what we read in Romans 1:19-20. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. What are we reading there? What we're reading is that all people, no matter how virulently they may deny it, know that God exists and that they are accountable to him. They see his reality, his power, his divine nature on the basis of witnessing creation. This created world. So Tim Keller, in his commentary on this passage, explains further. Creation shows us that there is a God of eternal power and divine nature. We all know, regardless of what we tell ourselves, that there is a Creator on whom we are utterly dependent and to whom we are completely accountable. We cannot know everything about God from creation, his love and mercy, for instance, but we can and do deduce that whoever created all this must be a being of unimaginable greatness, and then we suppress that truth. Deep down, all people, as Keller states, deduce that whoever created all this must be a being of unimaginable greatness. And as Keller points out, of course, there are limits to what we can deduce about God through observing creation. People cannot deduce God's love and mercy revealed in the good news of Jesus Christ based on their observation of creation? Of course they can. And that's why the good news must be preached. That's why the Word of God exists. But they do deduce the basic fact of God's power and benevolence to which they owe their existence and life. That's true of everyone. No matter how virulently they may deny it, deep down inside they know. But instead of honoring God and seeking to know, understand, learn, and live by His will and His way, like fools, we chose disobedience and turned to our own way, living as if He doesn't exist and He doesn't matter. Romans 1:21, the next verse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so, suppressing what we knew of God, well, we led ourselves astray to live according to our own way, giving ourselves as slaves to the lusts of our hearts. As we read in Titus 3:3, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, we wanted to do things our own way. But, of course, others wanted to do things their own way. We craved and lusted for certain things, but others lusted for those very same things. And so what happened? So we warred against one another, striving to come out on top. Martin Lloyd-Jones once stated regarding this truth, the world is as it is because of its final hatred of God, because of its hatred of God's law. The world is as it is because man rebelled against God and refused to live according to God's most holy laws. You see, as long as he did that, his world was paradise. He didn't have to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. He simply picked the fruit of the garden. But man was not content with that. He wanted to be as a god. He believed he could manage his own world in a better way than God could do. So he rebelled against God and he ate of the forbidden fruit. And he brought chaos upon himself, and he's been in it ever since, and he will be to the end. Why? Well, because he's trying to run his world. And because of this rebellion, his nature is fallen, and he's controlled by lusts and desires rather than by truth, justice, and righteousness, and the will and the way of a holy God. And Lloyd-Jones goes on to state, the moment man doesn't bow before God, he becomes a god himself. Yes, but the other man is a god also. And it's a fight between the gods. I want to have everything, but the other man wants to have everything. Well, there's nothing to do but to fight for it. That's the cause of the state of the world, my dear friend. That's the cause of the whole unhappiness of men and women this evening. Well, in our context, will be this morning. Yeah, that's a terrible life. What a terrible life this foolishness of turning to our own way has led to. Fighting between all of these self-proclaimed gods, or gods unto themselves, because they do not bow before the one true God. And of course, as Titus 3:3 indicates, the outcome is malice and envy. Titus 3:3, passing our days in malice and envy. We resented those whose way won out over our own way. Isn't that true? We wanted to do it our way. They wanted to do it their way. Their way won out. We resent them. We resented those who took for themselves what we wanted for ourselves. We resented living under the shadow of those stronger than ourselves. We resented these others who wound up further up the pecking order than ourselves. And we realized when we challenged them directly that they were more powerful than we were, more resources, stronger. So we were filled with malice and envy towards them. We could only bide our time and wish. That's what malice and envy is. It's wishing. Do we spend a lot of time wishing certain things, certain outcomes upon certain people? One commentator defines malice and envy like this. Malice is wishing bad things would happen to people. Envy is wishing good things had not happened to people. They're just two sides of the same coin. What is malice and envy fundamentally about? It's about wishing. And again, see what the foolishness of turning to our own way has brought upon the world. Lives filled with malice and envy. Examine our own hearts. Do we spend our days wishing in malice and envy? That's the foolishness of turning to our own way. That's the foolishness turning to our own way has brought upon this world. Lives filled with malice and envy, wishing bad things upon those who have won out over us, and wishing good things had not happened to them. And they in turn wishing the same upon those who have won out over them. And of course, this is nothing but a life filled with hatred. Titus 3:3, hated by others, and hating one another. Have we ever thought of hatred like that? What we wish? So I don't do anything to hurt them. But yeah, what do you wish for them? Hated by others and hating one another. And this is why those who live like straying sheep are so pitiable. Bruised, torn, matted, and cast down by this life, consisting of all these people following their own way, like sheep without a shepherd. We read on in our text. For you are straying like sheep, but have now. Sounds familiar. We think back what we had read earlier in this chapter in verse 10. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. So here in summary is why we, when left to ourselves, are so pitiful and miserable. We're not even a people. Isn't that true? People. People group. Unity. Support. Love. Look at our social circles. Our workplace. Our organizations. Even our own family relations as they are in the world apart from God. Aren't these all a microcosm of what has been described in Titus 3:3 as we've just analyzed it? Aren't these all a microcosm of this terrible, perpetual conflict and hatred as Titus 3:3 expresses it? To live life following our own way is to have no true people of our own. It is to live in perpetual, self-oriented conflict and hatred towards others. It is to live in a pitiful and miserable condition. So we read in verse 25, our today's text, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul." We desire to be delivered from this pitiful, miserable life of straying like sheep. And we must return to the one good shepherd, Jesus Christ. In the original language, the word translated as returned in today's text is epistrepho. And we encounter that same word in Thessalonians 1:9, where it's translated as turned. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned," that's epistrepho, "turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." See, to come under the care of the shepherd and overseer of our souls isn't just something we affirm intellectually about Jesus. To come under the care of the shepherd and overseer of our souls means we must turn. We must turn to Him from something. From what? Well, our text and what we've read so far in the Word of God makes it clear. From what? From our own way. From that foolish way of asserting our own supremacy. Of living our own way. As Lloyd-Jones put it, controlled by lust and desires rather than by truth, justice and righteousness and the will and the way of a holy God. To come under the care of the shepherd and overseer of our souls means we must turn from our own way and turn to Christ Jesus. It's because many people are misled by this idea that we can turn to Christ without turning from our own way, that they're so-called faith is so empty. There's no power. It brings no change to their life. Hollow. That's called an impenitent faith. And an impenitent faith is not a saving faith. Faith and repentance come together. Come under the care of the one true shepherd of God's flock, we must turn away from our own way and turn to Him, turn to Christ Jesus. Only then will we be led by Him in His way. The way He will lead us is the way of wisdom, not foolishness. Obedience, not disobedience. His way is the path of righteousness, not the path gone astray. His way is the way of servanthood to Himself, not enslavement to the lusts of our hearts. His way is the building up of His flock in love, not tearing each other down into hatred of malice and envy. It's brings us to our second and final point, the door into the satisfaction of life with Christ. In John 10:9, Jesus declared, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the door into the life as sheep of God's flock. By turning from our own way and by turning to Christ Jesus and trusting in Him as our Savior and Lord, we come under His care as our shepherd. And it is He and only He who leads us to pasture, that we may be nourished, may be satisfied. It is He who mediates reconciliation between ourselves and His Father so that we may know God as our Father. It is He who mediates reconciliation so that we may receive the Spirit of adoption, as we've talked about over the past couple weeks. The Spirit of adoption, and call upon God as our Abba. That's not possible without the Spirit of adoption, as we've determined in past weeks. It's only when we receive the Spirit of adoption that we can actually look upon God and call upon Him as our Abba. Not just some distant God out there. Abba, my Abba. It is He who mediates reconciliation so that we may receive the self-same Spirit who grants us understanding into His Word. Again, we can't truly understand the significance, the power, the glory apart from the Spirit of adoption of God's Word. We can't. That's why so many people turn to God's Word. It just seems as dry as sawdust. They read it, they hear it, they can't comprehend its power. They may understand certain facts about the Bible or certain facts about the gospel. There's no power, no glory. It seems so dry and lifeless and meaningless. Apart from the Spirit, we cannot understand the things of God. But when we receive His Spirit through faith in Christ, then we receive illumination so that we can understand His Word for our nourishment and thereby grow as sheep need to grow by feeding off good pasture. We can grow, bear fruit for Him in godliness and holiness and love. Through faith in Jesus, the door into God's flock, we are brought into life in fellowship with Himself and with His sheep, to be joined to a people at last. That's the only time we can genuinely have a people. We're brought into life in fellowship with Himself and with His sheep, to be joined to a people at last, to be led by Him in His way. So we close with this question, because we can never simply assume anything about the condition of our lives and our hearts. We close this question. Why continue to live like sheep without a shepherd? Why continue to fend for ourselves? Miserable, torn, cast down, perishing without pasture. And so the gospel declares to us, turn from our own way and turn to Christ Jesus. Trust in Him as our Lord, as our Savior, with a penitent faith. Penitent faith doesn't save anyone. That is not saving faith. Faith entails turning from and turning to. We read that earlier. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, just to remind everyone, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from. There's that turning from. In order to turn to God, we must turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Turn to Christ Jesus. Turn from our own way. Trust in Him as Lord, as our Savior, and we will be returned to the flock of God. We will come under the care of the one good shepherd and overseer, Christ Jesus. And it is only He who is able to lead us to the pasture. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's what we need, pasture. It is only He who is able to lead us to the pasture of true rest, nourishment, and satisfaction of life with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have learned today that left to ourselves, we are straying like sheep. We have all turned to our own way. But by the grace of God in Christ, for all who trust in You, have turned away from their own way and turned to Christ, so that You alone, the Good Shepherd, may lead us in Your way. We have returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of our souls, and we pray, Lord, that will be true of everyone in this congregation, no matter what our relationship to this church may be, how short or for how long we may be attending. We pray that this spiritual work of being returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of our souls may be true of each and every person, so that all, if it is in Your will, may be saved and know the pasture which only the one good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, can lead us to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.